I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors defeated the Philadelphia 76ers by a score of 129-112 on Tuesday night at the Air Canada Center. A nice bounce-back performance from the Raptors, from Monday's game where they got thoroughly outclassed by the Bucks. Obviously, you know, there was no Kawhi Leonard in that game. And that made a big difference. Today, Kawhi Leonard played. You know, he's kind of an important player. But the Raptors, I think the one thing you should take away from this game is that Philadelphia has most of the same problems as it had last year. They still turn the ball over a ton, like comical amounts of turnovers. They had 23 turnovers tonight. But they can still be a deadly team. They could still hurt you on the glass. They're a very physical, athletic team. They still have a couple of shooters that can really wiggle free and hurt you. And mostly that is just JJ Redick. But, you know, Redick does incite a lot of panic, especially when he starts to get going. And it kind of opens up all the Philadelphia 76ers offense. But fundamentally, they just don't have enough shooting in the starting lineup, really. Like, it's just, you know, even on a good night when they get four threes from Covington and three threes from Embiid, which is not the usual, not the norm. I mean, you know, they still couldn't really threaten. But, you know, the Sixers have the same problems. And the Raptors, well, they, you know, got Kawhi Leonard, so that's a big deal. We could start with Kawhi, who I just think that he's just so consistently excellent on a night-to-night basis. Obviously, you know, there are nights where he's going to rest, and we saw that twice already, and there's a bit of confusion about that, although the Raptors came out today and said, you know, they're going to be smart about his usage, and so you just have to check from game to game. So, okay, that's cool. That's where we're going to keep it at. That's cool. That's great. That's good that we know, but man, when he does play, Kawhi Leonard is really, really good. The stat line tonight, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 10 of 19 from the field goal, 2 of 5 from deep, 9 of 10 from the free throw line in 34 minutes. I mean, just MVP level performance, dominant performance, where he's just going to be, at this level every single night. And it's just nice to see. Defensively, that's the part where you really got to talk about, because Ben Simmons was the unfortunate player that had to play against Kawhi Leonard tonight, and Ben Simmons had 11 turnovers, all right, 11 turnovers. Ben Simmons was 2 rebounds away from a quadruple-double with turnovers. As it is, he still got the triple-double with turnovers, congratulations. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he just hounds you. I mean, I'm sorry, I feel bad for players that got to go up against Kawhi Leonard. The guy who's actually done the best so far is probably Wes Matthews. I thought he actually got a couple of shots off against Kawhi, but man, Ben Simmons cannot shoot. Ben Simmons just kept driving the paint, and Kawhi just kept picking him off. I mean, Kawhi only had 4 steals. Very important steal, actually, at the end of the game, where the Sixers kind of made a bit of a comeback at the end of the game, and I'll talk about that in a second. But, Kawhi kind of just put that to bed, where Simmons is trying to dribbling around in the paint, trying to, like, survey for a shot, which is basically what he does, right? He kind of just keeps his dribble alive and moves around from side to side, and the Sixers screen, and then he tried to find somebody for open for a jumper. Kawhi comes in, pokes the ball away from him, steals it. They go the other way. Kawhi gets the ball. He's in the corner, and then he pops a 3, and that's it ends any hope of a comeback. I mean, he's this 2-time defensive player of the year for a reason. And on the play before that, Kawhi, the Sixers had just gotten the defensive rebound, and Kawhi basically comes and reaches around Simmons and pokes it away from him. They were able to recover the ball. Simmons with great hustle, really, to torpedo, I think, Danny Green to get the loose ball and save possession. But doesn't matter, man. Kawhi just came back and picked him again. I mean, like, it's comical, man. He's that good defensively. And then offensively, you can't take anything away from this man. I mean, he's just, I really mean that. I don't mean that in a cliche sense. I mean, like, you can't deny him of his offense. Like, unless you're going to commit to doubling him all the time, which is a difficult decision to do when the Raptors have, you know, 2 shooters in Kyle Lowry and Danny Green who are both hitting really well right now. Also, Ibaka's been really efficient from the field. And then Siakam's always, a threat to cut. So it's difficult to double Kawhi. But unless you're going to, if you don't double Kawhi, He's just going to get to his spots and he's going to score. And he's going to be efficient every single night. Like, just look at tonight. 31 points on 10 of 19 shooting with 9 of 10 from the free throw line. I mean, just, you can't really stop him from getting the shots off. Like, you know, Robin Covington, I think last year made first team all defense, which is, you know, a little bit suspect, I would say. He's nice, but he's like Trevor Ariza nice. He's not like, you know, Danny Green or Kawhi Leonard nice, but yeah, I mean, Kawhi's just shooting over him. Same thing with Ben Simmons, just shooting over him, you know? Like, Joel Embiid trying to come at him. And, like, Kawhi is just, is interesting because he's such a complete offensive player, and he always knows how he can get a shot. So whenever he wants a shot, he goes into the post. The Raptors try to run some, you know, cross screens today to get him switched onto a smaller guy and then post him up. You know, we've seen the Raptors do that with DeMar a ton in the past, but same idea, except Kawhi is just able to get to the shot and then always rise up for an open shot, like always, man. And sometimes he doesn't even need to. Like, I think the Raptors actually ran into a little bit of trouble today trying to get those little mismatches for Kawhi. And I remember a possession where Danny Green tried to get him that switch by keeping his dribble alive and then got pressured into a turnover. Like, this, sometimes there's just no need. Like, you could just put Kawhi into the post and he's going to score. But also, he's just a complete scorer. I mean, like, transition, he can score. I mean, like, coming off cuts, he can score. He can hit the wide open threes. He can pull up on the threes. He can get to the foul line. You know, like today, 10 free throw attempts. I feel like very well deserved effort because he kept going to the basket. He's fearless. He's strong. He's going to get to the rim. And he was excellent, man. He got MVP chance tonight. You know, I mean, still think they're a bit thirsty this early in the season, but tonight it was absolutely a night where he deserved it. I mean, that steal on Ben Simmons and then hitting that three in the corner there, just incredible. And I think Kawhi has consistently performed in these close games so far this season. You look at the Cavs game, you look at that Timberwolves game, you look at that Mavericks game, and then you look at this game. Like, when he's in the game and the game is close, Kawhi Leonard's going to get the ball and he's going to score and he's going to be efficient and he's going to play great defense as well. So, great performance from Kawhi. He gets the first star. And then, man, there's a lot of competition for the second star because, like, a lot of good things happened tonight for the Raptors. I mean, when you score 129 points, you're going to get a couple great performances. I thought Serge Ibaka was pretty good again. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 of 13 shooting from the field, an assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. The one thing I want to highlight with Ibaka is, like, we can kind of just, like, we're getting used to the fact that he's just going to get, you know, about this, like, 16 points a game, you know, shoot about 50% from the field, and then get, like, you know, 3 or 4 offensive rebounds like he did tonight, and also be good defensively. Like, I just have to remind everyone, Serge Ibaka was not doing this at the end of last season. I mean, like, Serge Ibaka ended the year playing really, really shit basketball and then continuing to the playoffs. Game one against the Wizards, notwithstanding, was trash. And it was just like, all right, it looked like a lost cause. But now Ibaka is just consistently good night to night basis. Like, he just, I don't know if it's like a hot streak because it really doesn't feel like anything he's doing is too unsustainable. But he's just been good on a night-to-night basis. I mean, like, how many? This is like 7 games in a row he's had double-digit points. I mean, he just had 30. Now he has 16 tonight. I mean, I bet you. I mean, I could probably go through the box score and look, but there was not a 7-game stretch last year where Ibaka scored more than 10 points a game. And the way he's doing it right now with the kind of efficiency. So, Ibaka's been good. I thought he was good tonight. You know, the mid-range game was working really well. The two-man game with Kyle Lowry has been phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, good job by Pascal. Good job by Pascal Siakam as well. Good job by Serge. But yeah, good job by Pascal as well. I mean, 15 points, 15 rebounds. Last night he has in a career high 22 points in Milwaukee in scoring. And then now he establishes a career high in rebounding with 15 tonight to go along with 2 rebounds, 3 steals, 6 of 8 shooting from the field, and 3 of 4 from the free throw line. Game high plus 24 in 33 minutes. Pascal was great. Like, he's great. It's like watching his development has been really fun. I like the fact that he's rebounding a lot more. Serge has actually done a really good job of, like, boxing out this year. Not really this game. I don't really think he did a good job boxing out this game. Sixers kind of just overwhelmed them. Siakam came in and just was really active on the glass. I mean, 15 rebounds is kind of nuts for a guy who's not really imposing. He's a 6'8" guy. He's long and he's athletic, but for him to get 15 rebounds is, it's really impressive, and it's nice when he gets the rebounds because he can just take that and then push the break. And, I mean, I don't know what else to say. All Raptors fans know what Pascal can do on the fast break. So it's nice this year, too, that he's able to both be the finisher and also just be the initiator. We saw flashes of that last year. This year, he's just been dominant. Like he's just been really dominant in transition, and I'm really happy to see him doing what he's doing. Kyle Lowry probably gets the second start tonight. I mean, he was phenomenal. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 12 assists, a steal. That's 4 straight games of double-digit assists for Kyle now, 5 on the season. He leads the NBA in assists. 12 assists is going to help him maintain that lead tonight. And also just, an efficient outing from the field. 7 of 14, 3 of 7 from deep, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. I saw a lot of progress tonight from Kyle in the sense that, like, there was one moment, I think, in the second quarter where Kyle didn't get a very obvious foul call. No, it was the first quarter. He was, like, running to the corner three, and then the referee, was on the court. And so Kyle kind of, like, tripped up on his legs on the shot, and, like, he was, like, really upset with the ref. Not to call foul, because the referee's part of the game, so, whatever. But, like, just pissed at the ref for being on the court at once. And I thought that might be one of those games where, Kyle gets it into his head to, like, pick a fight with the refs. And he didn't do that. I didn't even see him really talk to the ref for the rest of the game. I'm sure he did, because he's, kind of a dickhead about it. But, I mean, like, Kyle really kept his focus, really bounced back from a poor game in Milwaukee where he shot 0 of 9 from 3. He got 3 threes tonight. And also just him driving to the rim a couple times, really right now with Kyle, the best thing you want to see is the assists. Like, he's getting Ibaka in all the right spots for sure. He's the one that's the best at setting up Kawhi Leonard. He's found Danny Green for a couple of wide open looks. And then with Pascal running the way he is, I mean, nobody loves to throw those full court touchdown transition passes as much as Kyle does. And so, with the starting lineup working the way it is, you got to really credit Kyle for being the point guard and the engine for the whole team. So good job by Kyle. Danny Green was solid, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 2 rebounds, 2 threes. He is what it is, I mean, I thought it was interesting to see Danny Green getting used in the post on like 2 or 3 possessions against JJ Redick. It was just a little bit strange. I'm not really sure why they did it. I guess Redick is kind of a defensive liability, but I still wouldn't orient my offense to Danny Green in the post to do that. But I mean, I just don't remember ever seeing Danny Green in the post ever. And he's played like probably 10 seasons in the league now. So it's a bit strange, but it worked out one time. I think the Sixers came to double and Pascal, wisely slid into the dunker spot and Danny Green found him with a bounce pass and he dunked it. So, maybe there's something to explore there. But, I mean, for the most part, solid game from Danny Green, as you would expect. Coming off the bench, JV, 23 points in 17 minutes, which is hilarious. I tweeted out in jest that Amir Johnson was still better than him. Obviously, he's not. I mean, Amir wasn't better than JV back in Toronto, and except for maybe 2013-14, although I think I would say they were pretty even at that time. I guess the rookie season, Amir Johnson was better. But, I mean, like, JV kind of just, dominated, went to work. 23 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, hit a corner 3, hit a baseline jumper, 2 blocks as well for JV. The only thing I don't like from JV was that, like, defensively he wasn't quite there, and he wasn't really rebounding as much as he usually is. I mean, only 4 rebounds is not great, but you can't argue with that production. I mean, 23 points in 17 minutes on 14 shots is nuts. And then, yeah, I mean, the only other thing of note really was that DeLon Wright, it looked better watching the game than it does now in the box score, but I thought he was solid, right? He finally started making those like high impact momentum swinging plays that DeLon's capable of doing. He picked there was like a stretch in the second quarter there where Kawhi Leonard came into the game early. Nick Nurse is doing a little bit better of a job staggering his stars so that, Lowry played the first 10 minutes until the bench came in, and then the bench only played by themselves for 2 minutes, and then the bench played by themselves for another 2 minutes to start the second quarter, and Kawhi came in, and so, they had coverage with some more reliable players with the bench that has been struggling. But Kawhi gets, elbowed in the eye by Robert Covington, and, no foul was called in the play, and so Nick Nurse wanted DeLon to take the intentional foul, and then instead of just taking the foul on Markelle Fultz, poor Markelle Fultz, man. But DeLon Wright pokes him and gets the steal, strips him, and then goes for a layup. He kind of missed, which is a little bit embarrassing, but I mean, still, I thought DeLon just came through with a couple of momentum swinging plays, and it kind of reminded us that, like, that's the kind of element that DeLon can bring to this game, where man, if the Raptors starters are playing the way they are, and I think that's definitely sustainable, they're going to have one of the best starting lineups in the league this year. But if they can just get some reliable bench production from DeLon and Van Vliet whenever he's back from this lingering toe issue, you know, that would just help the Raptors be more steady throughout the game. Because we saw it tonight, man. I mean, the Raptors have these great stretches where they can sustain leads. I mean, they had 35 points in the first quarter, 38 points in the third quarter. Like, they're just able to explode for these runs. And they're great defensively, too. I thought the Raptors, you know, I mean, the Sixers had 23 turnovers. Like, yeah, I don't even have to say they're great defensively. But there's just a couple things that's keeping them from sustaining their effort, whether that's not being able to rebound on the defensive glass. The Sixers got 17 offensive rebounds. I think the Raptors have conceded 10 or more in all their games so far. It's kind of a problem. And whether it's that or it's the fact that the bench just can't hold leads right now. And like, I thought the bench was actually decent-ish tonight, but because of JV. But even still, JV had 23 points in 17 minutes, but he was only a plus one. Like, that tells you kind of what the production on the floor was like. And you're just going to eventually need better production from your bench. And so we'll see if that gets fixed with Van Vliet back in the lineup consistently with Wright. But for the moment, it's leading to this stretches where basically the starters have to be brilliant. And the starters are brilliant. That's the thing. They'll come in, they'll give you an extra 10 points, start of the third, start of the first. And it's just up to the bench to not mismanage those extra 20 points. And, you know, tonight they almost mismanaged it. The Sixers cut a 21-point deficit down to about 7 points, but the Raptors, you know, closed it out. Kawhi was great. Kawhi got the first star, Kyle got the second star, and then third star, you can easily give it to one of Pascal, Serge, or JV. I'm going to give it to Pascal today just because I thought he, you know, just made higher impact plays and he had the highest plus-minus. So there you go. Those are your three stars. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, I'm going to go with Mike Muscala. And he had the lowest plus minus in the game, minus 17, tying with Robert Covington. But man, Muscala, 12 points in 16 minutes, 3 of 5 shooting, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. The reason he got those 5 free throws and also 2 of those offensive rebounds was because he was getting guarded by CJ Miles. And man, CJ Miles, bro, like I mean, look, you're a parent now. You got to like do whatever you can, secure the bag, secure that Go Daddy bag. But it's not looking good, man. The curse has taken our man CJ, and man, him guarding Mike Muscala was giving me, you know, flashbacks to him in the playoffs against Kevin Love. Like, it was that level of just like, why can't you guard him? Like, it's Mike Muscala, man. Like, it's like him, and like, that's it. Like, if you can't guard Mike Muscala, what are you doing? Like, come on, man. Like, you know, it was unfortunate, but yeah, Muscala kind of exploded. And it was also just really funny watching the Sixers, to be honest. I mean, going back to them, I mean, like, they really haven't made any improvements this year. It's, you know, people expect them to make a leap. They didn't. Embiid's kind of the same player. He's a little bit better than before, but he's not. He was already carrying this team. So him getting a little tiny bit better isn't going to change too much. Saric, I think, is way worse than he was last year. Covington is just what he is. And then, like, Ben Simmons didn't improve his jumper at all. And, I mean, we saw it tonight, those 11 turnovers. A lot of it was just because he's forcing the action because he can't shoot. And then Markelle Fultz, man. I'm rooting for Markelle Fultz just because I felt like he got dragged through the mud a lot last year. And it's hard for any 19, 20-year-old to go through that much scrutiny. But I will say this. He plays like 30-year-old Derrick Rose after the knee injuries. Like, that's his game right now is what Derrick Rose's game is for the Timberwolves. In fact, I think Derrick Rose is having a better year than Markelle Fultz on the season, which, it's tough, man. If that's the player that you wouldn't trade for Kawhi Leonard, who we saw tonight, Kawhi, you know, big difference maker in this game. If that's the player you're holding on to, Markelle Fultz, and you're expecting him to suddenly become, you know, the player that he was supposed to be, I mean, it's tough, man. We can look back on this whole era and you might think, man, they had Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, but they just couldn't get that third guy. And Fultz is supposed to be that third guy, but man, looks like washed up Derrick Rose. It's unfortunate. But the Raptors look great. They're 7-1 now, 6-0 at home. Sixers are now 4-4 on the season, 0-4 on the road. And yeah, I mean, look, it's a nice bounce back game from the Bucks game for sure. So that's nice to see. The Raptors are about to embark on a 4-game road trip where they're going to start on Friday against the Suns, and I'll be back after that game to recap, the first stop in their 4-game road trip.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plan, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose myhealthpolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START, myhealthpolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.